The first lesson, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the book of Amos, chapter 8, verses 4 through 7. Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain and the Sabbath be ended that we may market wheat? Skimping on the measure, boosting the price and cheating with dishonest scales, buying the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings with the wheat. The Lord has sworn by himself, the pride of Jacob, I will never forget anything they have done. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from 1 Timothy. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Therefore, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. I also want the women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, adorning themselves not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was a woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all of this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Once more, I greet you in the all-fulfilling name of Jesus Christ this morning. There was a man and a woman who had reached the age where they could retire from their jobs. And they wanted to do something meaningful, useful in their retirement life. Now, the woman liked to sing, and so she decided to take lessons on how to play the guitar to go along with that. And pretty soon, she was volunteering at the local retirement home and singing for the residents that were living there. And she went in to one of the residents' rooms and sang for her and played for her as sort of a musical therapy for the resident. And as she was leaving, she said to the resident, "I hope you get better soon." And the resident said to her, "I hope you do too." Now, the man used his retirement time quite a bit differently than the woman. One day he went downtown and he went into this store for just to buy something very quickly. He wasn't in the store maybe 5 minutes. And he came out and there was a police officer writing out a parking ticket. And he goes up to the police officer and he says, "Come on, man, how about giving a retired person a break?" Well, the police officer just kind of ignored him and continued to write the ticket. Well, the man kind of escalated a little bit and he called the officer a name. And the officer just kind of glared at him. And he wrote out another ticket for worn tires. And so the man called the officer a donut-eating Gestapo, you know? Well, the officer finished the second ticket and he started on the third ticket. Well, this went on for like 20 minutes. The more he abused the officer, the more tickets the officer wrote. Because the man didn't really care. He had ridden the bus downtown this morning, and the car that he was writing all the tickets for had a Clemson tag on it, you know? It's kind of a win-win there, you know? The retired man just wanted to have a little fun each day because he thought it was better for his health, okay? Well, don't we see retirement stuff all the time, all these ads about financial groups that want to bombard us and get our business and this, that, and the other, ads on TV. If we're on the internet, they pop up, you know, to you. Or, you know, if you listen to the radio, you hear these commercials about retirement investment and this, investment and that. And I guess it's because there's so many baby boomers that are retiring these days that all these companies want to get in on the the retirement boom. You know, in the times that we're living in, you just really have to start off your work history thinking about retirement, don't you? Because, I mean, gone are the days that you could work for a company, you know, 25, 30, 40 years, and they would put a little bit of money aside each month for you in a pension fund so that you would have some money at the end of all those years. I used to think it was kind of ironic that you work for a company all this time, and by the time you get to retire, and you don't have to watch the clock anymore, what do they give you? A gold watch. It just never made sense to me. But companies don't provide pensions anymore. At least not if they do. It's very, very rare. Nowadays, every person has to kind of look after themselves. You know, setting up IRAs, setting up 401ks, whatever it may be. Companies can't or they won't take on the burden of taking care of their employees after they retire. And really, many people nowadays that are just starting out, young people, They don't seem to have any problem hopping from job to job to job to job. You know, there's just not a lot of job loyalty left anymore. Plus the fact that most people want to work for themselves. They want to have flexibility in whatever their work schedules is. So retirement is an individual issue nowadays. And the sooner you make an informed retirement plan, the better off you're going to be when that time comes. So why am I talking about retirement? Well, because in our gospel lesson today from Luke, Jesus talks to us about a sort of retirement plan. Here we see Jesus teaching his disciples and the other people that were listening to him the parable of the shrewd manager. Now, some would say the dishonest manager, because the man lost his job because he was dishonest with his master's wealth, with his master's money. And he needed to come up with a retirement plan pretty quickly. And so he used what he knew about the master, and he used what he knew about the master's debtors to create a way for himself to have some sort of a retirement plan, a fallback position when he no longer had a job. You could say he discounted his accounts receivable from his master. And he accomplished two things with it. Number one, he would ingratiate himself into his master's debtor's debt. And maybe when he no longer had a job, they would help support him in his retirement. And number two, he did collect some debt that was owed to the master, maybe not the full amount, but he probably collected more than the master would have gotten originally. And so the master kind of commended him for that, for being shrewd like that. It was sort of a win-win-win situation that was there. Now please know here, Jesus is not extolling the virtues of following in the footsteps of the dishonest manager here. I mean, really, if you look at it, both the master and the manager were kind of unscrupulous. But Jesus was pointing out that we, as believers, should be shrewd with our worldly goods. We should recognize that money and wealth have power in this world. It can be a source of good, or it can be a tool for evil, depending on how we use it, depending on what's in a person's heart. And Jesus knew what was in the Pharisees' heart. Money can become the master if the person is not careful, like the Pharisees. Jesus disliked the Pharisees so much because they loved money above everything else, and they wanted more of it. They equated wealth with divine approval. In other words, the wealthier you were must mean that God is pleased with you, with what you're doing. I mean, how unscriptural is that? Of course, it didn't hurt that with all that wealth that they were accumulated, they lived opulent lives. They lived these wonderful lives at the expense of the poor people right outside their gates. Jesus was speaking out against their lust for money at the expense of spiritual matters. They allowed money to corrupt them so much that they led the Israelites away from God, not toward Him. You know, we humans are very good at using worldly wealth for our own benefit, aren't we? Okay? Why can't we use it for heavenly benefit too? We humans are so crafty and shrewd in our worldly business affairs. Why can't we be wise in our spiritual affairs too? By planning not only for an earthly retirement, but a heavenly retirement too. Now I'll give you an example of worldly shrewdness. And it's an example that was right here at Epiphany. We had a former member here at Epiphany who was a very successful businessman, is still a very successful businessman. He had business all over the world. You know, someone once noted that the phone number that he gave us on our yellow cards here, that phone number had a New York City prefix on it. And so they asked him, why do you have a New York City prefix on your telephone, but you live in Tallahassee? The man said, so that his clients would take him seriously. Huh? You see, that is using worldly knowledge for business purposes. He was being worldly shrewd. Now, he could have extended that and used those relationships that he was making to speak to people about knowing Jesus. And knowing the man that I'm talking about here, he is probably doing that very thing. That would be an example of being worldly shrewd, but having or being heavenly wise. You see what I'm saying? Jesus knew the corrupting power of money in the minds of us humans. But he also knew that we had to have money to live and other things of value. Because that's the way we live in this world. That's the currency to allow us to buy things and live in this worldly life. Money itself is not a bad thing. What can be detrimental is the value that we place on money and how we use or misuse that money. Paul wrote in his first letter to Timothy in chapter 6, he said, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." We can get into trouble when we forget that all of the riches we have, all of the wealth that we accumulate, is owned by God anyway. We're just stewards of whatever we have while we live on this earth. Too many people put too great a value on having wealth, and he saw that this is where the Pharisees were. Jesus reminds us at the end of our gospel lesson today, he said, what people value highly is detestable in God's sight. Not because of what it is, but because of the importance we place on it. Like when we value wealth and money and getting it above him. When we value it above helping other people. Jesus said we're supposed to use our money, use our wealth wisely, not for greedy purposes, but for eternal purposes. Now, I want to focus in on one particular verse in our gospel lesson today. That verse is verse 9 in our gospel. Jesus said, "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." I know that's kind of a hard thing to wrap your mind around. But I thought about this and prayed over it, and there's some truths that I got out of this particular verse. And I want to share two of them with you. Number one, we're to use worldly worth as a tool to gain friends. Not friends that are going to benefit us in this life, but friends who we will see again someday in heaven. Now, what do I mean by that? We can't buy our way into heaven, can we? Right? But we can be shrewd with whatever wealth that we have so that we use it for heavenly purposes in gratitude to God for giving it to us to begin with. It's like the shrewd manager. We can invest our God-given money, you might say our master's money, into individuals, into missions, into organizations, in order to bring the good news of Jesus to people who haven't heard it yet, to people who haven't believed in him yet. The shrewd manager used his master's money to make friends that would help him in this life. We can use our master's money, which he entrusted to us while we live here on this earth, to make friends for Jesus, whom we will see in eternal life. How cool would it be when we get to heaven and we have people come up to us and say, you know, the reason I'm here is because you invested in this mission or this ministry or this organization that preached the gospel to me, and I believed, and therefore I'm here today. How cool would that be? Wow. Jesus' point was that real wealth is not measured in worldly dollars, but in heavenly treasure. You remember what he said in Matthew 6. He said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That, folks, is our retirement plan. Stored up treasures in heaven. Now, what are those treasures? It's certainly not what the world values, but it's what God values. God values love. God values people. God values us treating people well. God values us forgiving other people who may have wronged us. God values faith in Jesus, not faith in dollars. Think of it like this. God wants us to use our wealth and love other people, not love our wealth and use other people. You see what I'm saying? Now, there's a second truth that I want to share with you in this verse when Jesus said, "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." The truth from this is that we have a finite amount of time to store up those treasures in heaven. The shrewd manager will look and say, the time to be productive is now, because it will run out one day. Not only time on our earthly jobs, but time on this earth, period. One day, we all will retire from both. If you think you have a lot of time left, you know, maybe I'll get around to storing up those treasures, helping other people, whatever it may be. Consider Jesus' parable about the wealthy farmer who had just harvested this bumper crop. You know, he had so much crops there, he didn't know what to do with it. And so rather than being the shrewd manager of wealth that God had given him, what did he do? He built a bigger barn so he could keep it all for himself. There was no thinking about helping others. There was no thinking about storing up treasures in heaven. No, he wanted to keep it all for himself. But that very night, his life ended. And all the things that he had stored up were going to be enjoyed by someone else. The point is that no matter how old we are, whether we're young or whether we're older, we don't know how much time we have. We've got to be ready for that retirement day. So now is the time to have a retirement plan, both earthly and eternally. We can choose to focus our lives on worldly wealth, which is temporary, which we can't take with us anyway. Or we can focus our lives on the money and the wealth that can be used both here and in eternal life. We can focus on the love that Jesus has for all people, the reason he came and did what he did for all of us. We can love others enough to bring them along as friends of Jesus into that heavenly realm. That's the ultimate treasure that we can have in heaven. What will it benefit us if we just give up on what really matters just so we can get a few more possessions on earth? When God offers us treasures that will last forever, he offers us a relationship with him that begins here and continues in eternity in heaven. Nothing's worth more than knowing Jesus, right? Think about it this way. If we have faith in Jesus, we're co-heirs of this fantastic, fabulous, wonderful, stored up treasure that God has for us in heaven. How great is that? That's the best retirement plan we could ever have. Am I right? Let's pray. Oh Lord, our Master, we thank you for giving us the means to live our lives on this earth. We know that every good thing we have comes from you. And we know that it'll return to you when our time of stewardship is over. Help us develop an eternal retirement plan so that we store up treasures and make friends that will be with us in heaven. Father, you're so good to us. You love us. You teach us your ways. And we are thankful to you for doing just that. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.